This is Ozarks at Large. Tuesday, the last votes in the Arkansas primary were cast in party runoffs. Republican voters selected Leslie Rutledge as their nominee for Attorney General. She'll face Democrat Nate Steele and Libertarian Aaron Cash in November. In another closely watched race in North Central Arkansas, Scott Flippo defeated John Burris for the GOP nomination in the State Senate District 17 race. There is no Democrat running, so Scott Flippo will join the State Senate. Roby Brock with Talk Business and Politics is with me on the phone from Little Rock. And Roby, not to diminish an attorney general's race, but a lot of eyes were on that State Senate District 17 race, weren't they?
They were, because how difficult it may be to reauthorize the funding for the private option or make changes to the private option was really kind of hanging in the balance with that Senate seat. John Burris, who was the state representative from the Harrison area, lost that race to Scott Flippo, as you indicated. Burris was one of the chief architects of the private option, and Flippo basically campaigned on a promise to oppose it and do what he could to defund it. And so now that vote is in the state Senate, where there really wasn't any room for error or margin for error. And so it kind of remains to be seen. There's still a lot of time between now and next January. And quite frankly, those votes probably won't come until, you know, as late as April. There'll be a lot more data that gets processed in terms of determining the fate of the private option. But that certainly does not bode well for supporters of it with John Burris's defeat.
Yes, this was one swath, one state senate district that includes Boone and Marion and part of Baxter County, North Central Arkansas. Is there a danger in extrapolating this one race's result statewide?
Yeah, I don't think that you can paint the broad brush of this is where the electorate is. I mean, if you look at that particular Senate district, too, as you mentioned, from Boone to Baxter County, I'll just give you a little context and your listeners a little context. Asa Hutchinson won 70% to 30% over Curtis Coleman in the GOP governor's primary. The only county that Curtis Coleman won in the state of Arkansas was Baxter County. So there is a ultra-conservatism in that particular region of the state that I don't think exists in some other places across Arkansas. So I think to look at that state Senate district, put it in the context of the whole state, is not a real accurate picture of where state public sentiment is on either the private option or a myriad of other potential issues.
Looking at some statewide races, of course, Tom Cotton running for Senate against incumbent Mark Pryor. A lot of money has been thrown into this already. No indication that there's any lack of money yet. I mean, the money keeps flowing in.
It's going to keep flowing in, Kyle, because this race is competitive, and it is one of just a handful at the national level that is going to see just all eyes of the nation on what happens in this Senate race. And it's a competitive race. I mean, we get a poll one day that shows one candidate up by a little bit, another poll with another candidate up by a little bit. Occasionally you get an outlier that shows a big lead for one or the other. But I think when you take them on average, this race is definitely a 2-3-4 point race at this juncture. And that's going to mean that money comes in and comes flowing in. And I will say that we saw money play in a bunch of other races, too. The attorney general's race, there was a Supreme Court race. We're seeing it in the governor's race. I predict it will be flowing in the congressional races as well. And I think some of that is because these third-party groups and the way that they are structured now, and this is all a result of the 2010 Citizens United ruling, I think that those third-party groups have their sea legs now. They understand how to work the system very, very well. I could not get any significant information on who was behind the Judicial Crisis Network's financial contributions that were benefiting David Sterling and blistering Leslie Rutledge. It just was impossible. And I contacted that organization. I asked for interviews. I did as much internet research as you possibly can. And you just can't figure out where the money comes from. And that's legal. And with that kind of setup, you're going to see people take advantage of a system that may not be fair, but is certainly legal. and they're going to push it to the limits. And so I think we're going to see that dark money, that special interest money, really play much more significantly. And I think at some point in time, there is going to have to be some action on that front. Maybe not to curtail the contributions, which would be idealistic, but for sure to cure some transparency in that process. And I don't think that's asking too much.
It's called dark money for a reason, right? There is no light being shed upon it.
You're right. I mean, it is very unclear where the money is coming from, and it is very difficult, and it's quite frustrating, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, people have the right to know who's financing some of this stuff. It, you know, an organization called Arkansans for Great Government or the For the Best Arkansas doesn't really tell you anything about where that money comes from, and it's frustrating, and I think it's frustrating to voters.
Finally, we had one of the biggest political upsets in decades this week in Virginia. What do you take away from that, whether as someone who covers politics or what it might mean, if anything, for Arkansas? Any thoughts about Eric Cantor's stunning defeat?
Yeah, I've been poking around on that for the better part of the day today, and I think it's still really fluid right now. I don't think it changes the congressional calendar much at all, and there has been some suggestion that that may happen. I think that we were kind of headed for a stalemate on most of the big issues for the rest of this year anyway, and as dysfunctional as Congress is, I don't hold a lot of hope that they make big movement on big issues. But I think that's part of it. I think the other thing is it's going to embolden some of the Tea Party conservatives that are out there that, hey, look, it is possible. You've got a lot of David versus Goliath races at times out here. And so I think that this is definitely going to be one of those illustrations that's pointed to on a frequent basis. See, it can happen. From what I can learn from some of the congressional sources I've been talking to, Cantor was very out of touch with his district. We've seen this happen in Arkansas in years gone by. I could harken back to the Bill Alexander days when Blanche Lincoln upset him back for Congress in the 90s, or Burl Anthony losing a race in the 4th congressional district back in the day. And that happens when you don't spend enough time in your district. And from what I've heard, Cantor was traveling quite a bit as House Majority Leader, perhaps laying the foundation for a, you know, House Speakership position in the near future. And when you miss some of those banquets that you're expected to be at, some of those, you know, social events in a congressional district, if you're not there and people notice you're not there, it does start to attract some traction after a while. And I think that's the biggest issue of what happened to him. I'm not sure there's a larger example or lesson to be learned other than for Arkansas politicians to spend time in their districts and listen to their constituents.
Roby Brock is the editor and publisher of Talk Business and Politics. You can see him on television, you can read the quarterly magazine, and you can find out more online at talkbusiness.net. Roby, thanks so much.
Always good to be with you, Kyle.